The most merciful thing in the world, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance, in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far. Welcome to the H to the Sea Halloween special. Something frightfully suggestive of old and unhallowed cycles of life in which our world and our conceptions have no part.
There'd be a big needle going into your brain, but I'm cool with that.
I don't care. My grandfather always said if you can't learn something in 3 seconds, it's not worth learning.
Is there such a thing as a font color that will only show up if you hold the UV lamp up to your computer screen?
Oh, we should invent one if there isn't.
I hope you were looking the whole time.
I hope so too.
Because if you were,
here it comes.
All idiots.
Stupid, stupid idiot.
Dislocating your groin is probably the most painful thing that you could ever do.
More painful than when I had to look into her beautiful fat eyes and tell her that this Manitoba milk bag just wasn't gonna work.
H to the C, motherfucker!
My tale begins with a single glimpse of forbidden eons, which chills me when I think of it, and maddens me when I dream of it. That glimpse, like all trail glimpses of truth, flashed out from an accidental piecing together of separate things. An innocent phone call, or a harbinger of the horrors that follow.
No, I understand that. Yeah, we're all going to be making a sacrifice. And we're going to need some virgins as well. Okay, you knew that. Good. Okay. No, it's the right one. All of the stars are going to align, and we're gonna have it perfect for when he comes.
Hey, oh, sorry.
Okay, I gotta go. Okay, goodbye.
What was that all about?
Oh, you know, John, just work stuff. I'm actually working from home today. I've had some stuff to take care of around the house.
Yeah, I know. My basement's all fixed up, and we've just been trying to put the pieces... What the fuck is that, Ryan?
It seemed to be a sort of monster, or symbol representing a monster, of a form which only a diseased fancy could conceive.
What?
That big ugly statue there?
If I say that my somewhat extravagant imagination yielded simultaneous pictures of an octopus, a dragon, and a human caricature, I shall not be unfaithful to the spirit of the thing.
That thing is uglier than your cousin Tina. Jesus Christ.
No, but it's funny you should say that. When I found it in the attic last week, I actually thought it was a sculpture of my cousin Tina for a second. But you're right, it really creeps me out.
That thing is fucking creepy. I wouldn't keep it in my house.
If I'm being honest with you, John, I think it might actually be giving me bad dreams.
What do you mean?
Well, I've just been having these really weird dreams lately, and I can't really remember quite what they're about when I wake up, but I have a bad feeling all day, and then something, you know, mildly bad happens. I almost feel like... prophetic?
Ryan was a precocious youth of known genius, but great eccentricity, and had from childhood excited attention through the strange stories and odd dreams he was in the habit of relating.
I was actually talking to my parents about it last night, and my mom said that I might be psychically hypersensitive.
Your mom's always been kind of a fruitcake. What did your dad say?
My dad said that I was merely queer. Actually, John, it's really nice that you stopped by. Are you up to anything right now?
Not really. I was just driving by, and I saw that your light was on, so I stopped in.
I'm just really busy right now. I have this thing coming up, and I have all these errands to run. But Dr. Webb's coming by from the university to pick up that ugly-ass statue.
What for?
Well, you know, he studies antiquities, and...
Do you think it's, like, an antique?
No idea, I just thought
he might... It just looks like an ugly pile of puke to me.
Yeah, I thought he might just, like, want to take a look at it or something.
Yeah, I can stick around, and when's he coming?
He should be here within, like, the next half hour or so. He was coming on his lunch.
Yeah, well, I wanted to go over some stuff for the podcast, but I can come over another time.
Okay, we'll catch up later.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Only poetry or madness could do justice to the noises heard upon my next visit to Ryan's home. It was a chaotic sensation which only fancy could transmute into sound.
Punglui, Mgwalnath, Cthulhu, Rele, Watnago, Fatagan. Watnago, Fatagan.
Cthulhu, Fatagan, Rele?
You doing Rosetta Stone?
Oh, John! Am I doing Rosetta Stone? How about are you doing knocking?
Sorry. I just got some podcast stuff to... We need to get a new episode out soon.
Oh, no, don't worry about it, John. I'm only playing. You just startled me. It's no big deal.
So what was that all about?
What was what all about?
Were you just talking to somebody on the computer?
Oh, on the computer? No, no, no.
Alright, so you're, that professor guy stopped by yesterday. He was kind of weird. What department does he work in?
I don't know, the Department of Archaeology or History or Archery? I've never really been good with that sort of thing, John. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, just that... That statue, it's just been... I don't know, it just... The more that I looked at it after you left, the more it just... made me, I don't know, uneasy?
The diminutive figure, whose utter strangeness and air of genuinely abysmal antiquity hinted so potently at unopened and archaic vistas. No sane mind could have animated this terrible object. Yet centuries and even thousands of years seemed recorded in its dim and greenish surface of unplaceable stone.
That's why I sent it to him, man. You're preaching to the choir.
Well, did you hear anything? Did he figure... Where did he find out where it came from?
Hopefully I never hear of it again.
So, do you want to do some recording today?
You know, John, it's really offensive that you think you can just stop by here anytime you want. I mean, what if I had been... rubbing Vaseline all over my rabbit and seeing where she fit in my body. Wouldn't we both be feeling pretty embarrassed right now? What if I was doing nude Pilates? What if I was playing rodeo on top of a midget dressed like a clown?
Ryan, I've seen worse, and we need to get some work done, man. Come on.
John, I said I was busy, alright? I don't have time for this.
Alright, well, I'll, talk to you later, and I'll let you know when I'm coming, I guess. Is there a good time? When are you free this week?
How about when I'm free, I let you know?
Okay.
My skepticism and distrust of my podcasting partner, Ryan, continued. I had to gather more information about his bizarre dreams... strange statue, the maddening words that I hear coming from his own mouth. I turned to the internet. What I found was of portentous significance to my flagging quest. I had quickly instituted a prodigiously far-flung body of inquiries amongst nearly all the search engines I could question without impertinence, and found disturbing evidence of the so-called Cthulhu cult, as well as many accounts over the past several months of people having strange dreams. My results will vary, but I did find that scattered cases of uneasy but formless nocturnal impressions appeared here and there over the past several months. There were 4 cases I found with a vague description that suggests fugitive glimpses of strange landscapes, and in one case there is mentioned a dread of something abnormal. A 4th of those who reported anything reported scenes and half sounds not unlike those which Ryan had spoken himself. One website from a group in California which describes a Theosophist colony as donning white robes en masse for some glorious fulfillment which never arrives, whilst items from India speak guardedly of serious native unrest towards the end of September. Voodoo orgies multiply in Haiti, and African outposts report ominous mutterings. and also numerous are the recorded troubles in insane asylums, and only a miracle can have stopped the medical fraternity from noting strange parallelisms and drawing mystified conclusions. It was nightmare itself, and to read it was to die. Digging further into this Cthulhu cult, I found that they worshipped, so they said, the great old ones who lived ages before there were any men, who came to the young world out of the sky. They all died vast epochs of time before men came, preserved by the spells of mighty Cthulhu. They could only lie awake in the dark and think whilst uncounted millions of years rolled by. After infinities of chaos, the first men came. The great old ones spoke to the sensitive among them by molding their dreams. For only thus could their language reach the fleshy minds of men, who formed a cult which had never died. This was that cult, and the internet said it had always existed and always would exist, hidden in distant wastes and dark places all over the world until the time when the great priest Cthulhu, from his dark house in the mighty city of Rylai, should rise and bring the earth again beneath his sway. Someday, he would call, when the stars were ready and the secret cult would always be waiting to liberate him.
Hello?
Hey, John. What's going on?
Ryan, I've been reading all this stuff on the internet, and I'm really freaked out, man.
Oh, yeah, we all get freaked out when we read the internet. That's why you shouldn't read the internet.
No, I mean, like, with that stuff that I heard you talking about on the computer yesterday, and that statue.
John, I wasn't talking on the computer yesterday.
Ryan, just hear me out.
I actually called for a reason, John.
Do you want to do the podcast?
No, I don't have time for the podcast. I actually have a little surprise lined up for you.
I don't know if I'm in the mood, man. I've just been, these last couple of days I've been really freaked out.
John, if you've been having a rough week because you're all freaked out, all the better. I've got something big planned for us Thursday night.
Thursday?
Imagine, John, just letting loose, throwing all your morals aside. It's going to be wild. It's going to be free, man.
I don't know, man. I guess, I don't know, maybe it will take my mind off it.
You bet it will.
Where?
Well, you know the old Arkham Observatory?
So we're going to have some crazy freakout at a observatory? I didn't even know we had one. Where is that?
It's on Rylai Avenue.
Rylai?
Yeah, Rylai.
Rylai?
Yeah, Rylai.
Okay,
I don't have any time for questions, John. I just need you to be at the Arkham Observatory on Thursday night. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, but...
Okay, great. Thanks. Gotta go.
My research continued. The time would be easy to know, for then mankind would have become as the great old ones. Free and wild and beyond good and evil, with laws and morals thrown aside and all men shouting and killing and reveling in joy. Then the liberated old ones would teach them new ways to shout and kill and revel and enjoy themselves, and all the earth would flame with a holocaust of ecstasy and freedom. The events of the past week have manifested in myself only in alternations of unconsciousness and delirium. As I approached the observatory, I noticed ugly roots and malignant hanging nooses of Spanish moss beset them, and now and then a pile of dark stones or a fragment of a rotting wall intensified by its hint of morbid hesitation, a depression which every malformed tree and every fungus islet combined to create. My heart nearly stopped as the hellish outlines of the nameless monstrosity came into focus, although there was a touch of bizarre familiarity in the monstrous shape of the thing. The geometry of the dream place I saw was abnormal, non-Euclidean, and loathsomely redolent of spheres and dimensions apart from ours. The very sun of heaven seemed distorted when viewed through the polarizing miasma welling out from this perversion, and twisted menace and suspense lurked leeringly in those crazily elusive angles of carbon rock, where a second glance showed concavity after the first showed convexity. One could not even be sure that the ground was horizontal, hence the relative position of everything else seemed phantasmally variable. As I reached for the handle, I wondered how any door in the universe could be so vast. When I thought of the extent of all that may be brooding inside, I almost wished I could kill myself forthwith. Was I tottering on the brink of cosmic horrors beyond man's power to bear? Death would be a boon if only it could blot out these memories. I would have fled had I not feared the scorn of Ryan in the event of my incorrectness. So I entered half-heartedly, knowing that I shall never sleep calmly again when I think of the horrors that lurk ceaselessly behind life and time and space, and of those unhallowed blasphemies from elder stars which dream beneath the sea, known and favored by a nightmare cult ready and eager to loose them upon the world whenever the stars align again. The hallway was lined with giant figures of exquisitely artistic workmanship. They represented monsters of vaguely anthropoid outline, but with an octopus-like head whose face was a mass of feelers, a scaly, rubbery-looking body, prodigious claws on the hind and forefeet, and a long, narrow wings behind. These things, which seemed instinct with a fearsome and unnatural malignancy, were of a somewhat bloated corpulence, and squatted evilly on rectangular blocks or pedestals covered with undecipherable characters. These creatures were one and the same with that which I discovered at Ryan's house 1 week ago. At the end of the hallway stood a lone figure draped in a white hooded robe.
Who's there?
Oh my god, it's John! Hi, John! Okay, wait, just a sec.
Misty?
Yeah. Okay. On this unholiest of nights, I offer you my maidenhead, as symbolized by this melt to be combined with your seed, into this cool bag with weird scribbles on it, and at which time it is to be splashed back upon mine own mortal body.
If I accept this Manitoba milk bag, won't it awaken the great priest Cthulhu from his eternal slumber?
I knew I was powerless to resist the call of Cthulhu as my erect penis stood up at an angle which was acute but behaved as if it were obtuse.
What has risen may sink, and what has sunk may rise. Okay.
The Manitoba milk bag cannot be described. There is no language for such abysms of shrieking and immemorial lunacy, such eldritch contradictions of all matter, force, and cosmic order. God! The thing of the idols, the green, sticky spawn of the stars that awakened to claim his own. The stars were right again, and what an age-old cult had failed to do by design, a band of innocent podcasters had done by accident. After vigintillions of years, great Cthulhu was loosening and ravening for delight.
Surprise!
What? Ryan? What's going on?
What do you mean what's going on? We're throwing you a surprise party.
What?
John, when people jump out at you and yell surprise after giving you your favorite thing in the world, that's called a surprise party. You know, John, I know it's been a while since you've had a Manitoba milk bag. Maybe you don't understand that the purpose of a surprise party is actually not to make you this surprised. You're actually supposed to be happy.
Do you understand the last week that what I've gone through?
All the trouble you've gone through. John, look around. Everybody in here has gone to a great deal of trouble to make this the best Halloween ever for you.
It's just a Halloween Manitoba milk bag party?
John, did you forget that it was Halloween?
This last week has been hell for me, Ryan. I've been scared shitless, to be honest. Man, it has been a while since I've had a Manitoba milk bag, but...
Yeah, well, John, you can't really give somebody a terrorgasm as a gift without inspiring a little bit of terror. I admit we've been maybe messing around with you a little bit.
But what's... I heard you talking about sacrifices on the phone the other day.
Yeah, we all had to sacrifice a lot of our free time to set this up for you.
What about that when you were on the computer and you were talking that weird language?
Well, you kept busting in on me, John, while I was trying to plan your surprise party. And Professor Webb works with the Department of Linguistics at the university, so I just had them write me up secret code.
But, well, then why did he want to study the statue?
He wasn't studying that statue, John. I know you love creepy old shit, so I had him replicate it using their 3D printer.
Oh, so that's where all these statues came from?
Yeah, that's where all these decorative statues came from. They're all replicas of that ugly one I found in my attic.
Well, I gotta say, this is the best terrorgasm you've ever done for me, Ryan.
And I've done a lot of terrorgasms for you.
So good that I don't know if I'll be able to experience joy ever again in my life. I don't know if anything could ever be this good again.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I have looked upon all that the universe has to hold of horror, and even the skies of spring and the flowers of summer must ever afterward be poison to me. Thanguli, Wumlafa, Cthulhu, Rylai, Waganagal, Fatagan, in his house at Rylai, dead Cthulhu waits dreaming.